The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off of them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them.
Good afternoon. You know, there are many things in this life, I believe, that inspire me and in a variety of ways. And tonight, as we look into God's Word, let us think on this idea. I want to be inspired. I want to be inspired. You know, in summertime, when I see many of my loved ones in a variety of beautiful locations while on vacation, I'm inspired by the beautiful places that I see there. Yeah, I've been to the top of the Smoky Mountains and looked out across God's creation. I've been inspired from being up there. I've also had the opportunity to see some beautiful things in Hawaii and to see Diamond Head and some things like that, been awed in God's beauty, been to Jamaica and seen Duns River Falls, beautiful things there. Those views really inspire me in a number of ways. But do you know what inspires me every day? Well, I start every day to the best of my ability with prayer, because everything that I do, my desire is to do that in honor to God. And then the next thing that I do is I start some music of some sort. I have some headphones I put in my ears when I go to the gym. I get in the car and I turn the radio on. I've been accused by my family and by friends listening to my music too loud. So young people, that's why I go, huh, a lot. So just keep that in mind. But I do enjoy music. I love music. Music inspires me in so many ways. And music can be a good thing. And music can inspire all of us. And it can inspire us for good, or it can inspire us for evil. So the question is, what are you choosing to let inspire you? And how are you letting that happen? Have you ever thought about the fact that music is very pervasive? There has never been a human culture on the face of the planet that did not produce some kind of music. We've discovered cave people with paintings of prehistoric people playing things and all these kinds of things. And music has been a part of all major cultures and occasions. And we see it a part of, you know, music is part of weddings, it's part of funerals, pageants, rites of passage, birthdays, anniversaries, parades, festivals, all kinds of things. There's all kinds of places, but there's one thing that is truly inspiring above all, and that is singing. You know, when people come and visit with those of us in the Lord's church, oftentimes I hear that, wow, you guys just sing. But you see, God created that instrument. Man didn't. And how beautiful it is that we would sing together. You know, I remember when my children were growing up, I used to get up in the morning, and I like to wake up early in the morning, and I would make up songs as I went through the house in the morning. It's another beautiful day. And I would begin singing, and they would begin rolling their eyes. You know, here he goes again. You know, Daddy's cheerful in the morning, and he's singing again, you know. And that sort of thing. But music truly is something that can inspire us. From Walmart to Wall Street, from elevators to automobiles, we find music in every part of our lives, and we like it that way. We insist that our cars have come equipped with the latest technology that we can use to play. And some folks, by the way, would say, oh, that's for young people. No, it's not. Have you gotten inside somebody's car who's got a little day or two behind them? We like to listen to music. We like to listen to those things. And we may have different tastes, but we always like to listen to those things. As a matter of fact, it is said that we buy millions of dollars in worth of music every year here in this country. It's an essential component of virtually every form of our entertainment experience. And if you don't believe me, think about this. Think about the next time you go to a movie and take out the soundtrack there. There's big business there. They're big business because the theme song is something that drives it. You know, we talked about that some this morning, about theme songs from television shows and how those things play a part of things. But have you ever noticed how music is also used in advertising? Years ago, there were musicologists that discovered that certain kinds of music produce predictable behaviors in people. For instance, slow, peaceful music actually has a physiological effect. Our heart rates slow down, our digestion is stimulated, and our saliva glands become more productive. Then some advertising guy, by the way, figured out that this was the case, and he began to wonder if there was an application for that in his industry. So they started playing slow, peaceful music in grocery stores, and guess what started happening? People started spending more time there. And that's why when it's abruptly broken up by someone over the PA who's calling for something, we really pay attention to them because we get kind of lulled asleep in those things. They've noticed that people take longer time in the stores, and therefore they buy more things. So the next time you want to go to the grocery store, if you want to save some money, put Van Halen on your earpiece, and you'll be out of there in a hurry. Okay, and then some folks get that, some folks don't, but that's all right. That's all right. Here's the thing we need to keep in mind, that there have been also those who've discovered that music helps us remember things. It helps us to remember things. You know, we can sing a song from a commercial and everybody knows what it is. You can sing a tune from a commercial and everybody will know what it is. And then we figure out that actually in the Lord's church, that works as well. Glenn and Cindy Colley came up with the idea of having their daughter begin to sing memory verses. And we'll see Hannah's 100, you know, if you look that up on the web. And we see that others have followed suit with utilizing little songs to help sing us. You know, we sing the books of the Bible in a variety of ways so that we can memorize all those things. It helps us to remember those things. And when we need to remember things, it can be very serious business for us. You see, when Jesus was tempted of the devil in the desert, he remembered God's word. I don't know if he memorized it as a child that way, but I know that he remembered God's word. And he utilized that to help him when times were tough. And I don't know about you, but when things get rough, that's when I need to be inspired. When things get rough, that's when I need something to help me lift my burden. There was a fellow by the name of Harold Kushner who wrote a book several years ago called Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And he wrote that book because he was trying to make sense of a great tragedy that had taken place in his life. And we've all asked that question, why did this have to happen to me? And it would be fair in one's mind to consider that after 40 days of fasting, Jesus could have responded, devil, you're facing me now. Why does this have to happen to me? But that's not exactly how he responded. You know, when we ask that question this side of eternity, we may never find the answer for ourselves, but there's one thing that we can know for sure. The nature of this world being what it is, we will never be able to prevent all bad things from happening to us because we live in a world where other people live. Bad decisions can be made all around us that can have some effect on us. After all, the question why is really not the most important part of this. It's not the most important question anyway. God is more concerned with what than with why. Believers ought not to be asking why bad things happen to good people, but rather what to do when bad things do happen to God's people. Well, as we look into our text tonight, I would assert to you that when our hearts hurt, we need to sing. When our hearts are joyful, when we need to sing. When we need to be inspired, we should sing. You see, when we look at our text in verse 25, we see here that we need to be reminded constantly and help one another as we look into God's word that when times are tough and we need to be inspired. We need something to lift us up. We need to be those who remember to worship. When struggles hit, it's imperative that we remember the one who is above all. At midnight, we read in verse 25, Paul and Silas prayed. There they were bound as prisoners, and they sang praises to God, and the other prisoners heard them. Can any of us really say that we know what Paul and Silas had been feeling? True enough, they would be feeling low, amen? I mean, here you are, you've been doing all the right things, good things for God's purpose, and you find yourself bound in chains for no other reason than you were simply serving God. How could everything go so wrong for those who faithfully followed his plan? They were in prison, and they weren't just in prison, folks. They were there. They had been stripped naked. They had been beaten. And they were uncertain of the future. What would tomorrow hold? Now, what did they do about it? It's got to be a low place to have been beaten and stripped of your clothes and chained to a wall and left there. Did they moan and groan? Did they give up and huff and puff? You know, when we have a tough time and we find ourselves doing that, folks, I got to tell you, nothing ever good comes from a believer who acts that way. Back in the days of the apostles, it was a common thing for someone to go where a shallow place was in a stream and put rocks across the stream so that people could walk across easily. And when those things took place, sometimes there might be some person who was just evil, someone who was maybe it could have been a robber or a thief. It may have been just someone who was trying to create a problem, would put a loose rock or a rock in the way that would cause somebody to stumble and fall as they tried to make their way across. Now, with this in mind, I want you to notice something that Paul wrote to the church at Rome. Let us not therefore judge another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. Discouragement, discontent, complaining just for complaining's sake, being mean. We wouldn't want to treat anyone that way. We wouldn't want to put a stumbling block in anyone's way. Jesus said, but whosoever will offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it will be better than a millstone hanged about his neck and that he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Now it's safe to say when you're in jail, things are not going the way you would like for them to go. Especially not if you've been beaten and bloody. Paul and Silas chose to worship God and make God the focus of their attention rather than their own misery. Being obsessed with their own miserable circumstances is a trap of the enemy, by the way. When I spend time with people one-on-one, many times I will ask the question, what have you been focusing on and what have you been reiterating in your mind? Perhaps we could begin an exercise by what you reiterate in your mind, and we can make that as a fundamental step as we go in a better direction in this life. Thinking about those things that are good, thinking on what God has done for us rather than wallowing in some bad circumstance. Think about what God has done for us in our circumstance despite those things that we might find are difficult in this life. How has God blessed you? You see, we can choose to look at those things knowing that our God will have us to be a victor in the end, not a victim. No matter the circumstances, the victor recognizes the power of God. When struggles hit, we need to remember who's bigger than that. And God is. Suddenly there was an earthquake, we read, so that the foundations of the prison were literally shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosened. When Paul and Silas chose to focus on God rather than their trouble, God followed up by doing something they couldn't do for themselves, something we wouldn't possibly imagine. Instead of their spirits being shaken, God shook the earth, and the very foundations of the jail were shaken by the earthquake. The building crumbled. The doors were opened. The chains fell off. God used one of the most destructive forces in nature, not to destroy, but to preserve His saints. God is so big. In Exodus chapter 14, Moses told the children of Israel who were complaining at that point, stand back and watch what God will do. And God parted the Red Sea. Now I want you to think about your life and the difficulties that you have faced. And think honestly about how many times God has done the amazing for you. It is because of that we are here gathered this very evening. Too many times we as Christians will walk around with a sour look on our face because some detail didn't go as we wanted in life. But are we being unthankful instead of being inspired by the great God who has done so much for us? See, when I'm truly thankful, I find my light heart singing. I will be singing. I remember my grandfather who only had 2.5 fingers on one hand, and he would tap that nub on the car window as we went down the road, the window down in July, and a Rambler, AMC Rambler, and it's so hot going through South Alabama, and he would be tapping that nub on the window, and he would be singing. He was always singing a hymn, but he would be singing. When my heart is light and I'm truly thankful, I find myself singing. What about you? Have you been singing lately? Have you been inspired? Maybe we need to think about that. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I don't get my way, I have a tendency to pout. Yeah, I'll do that. I hate to admit it. I need you to pray for me that I won't do that. But I don't think I'm by myself. Amen. Instead of pouting and complaining, I need to be thankful and remember that no matter my trouble, God is bigger than that. God has forgiven me for being unthankful, and that inspires me as well to be a person who looks toward His example to be more forgiving. When struggles hit, we need to remember to forgive, folks. The keeper of the prison was awakened from his sleep. He saw the prison doors open. He drew out his sword. He would have killed himself because he was responsible for those prisoners. And had they escaped, he was going to die anyway. But supposing those prisoners had fled, but Paul then cried out to him with a loud voice and said, do yourself no harm. We're all here. After that guard had been a part of the beating and the incarceration, how many of us would have said, wait, 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 don't hurt yourself. We're all here. Yeah. The need for revenge is one of our most basic human emotions. However, there's nothing spiritual about our need for making someone else suffer the way we have. This is not the Lord's way. And aren't you glad that God didn't feel that way toward us to make us feel the pain He felt when we sinned against Him? If Paul had sought revenge, neither this man nor his family would have ever likely come to Christ. No, we need to remember Jesus tells us about those that we perceive to be our enemy. You've heard it said, as we read in Matthew 5 and verse 43, that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. If you had the opportunity, by the way, to be inspired lately, and this is what I mean by that, if you had the opportunity to remember to be forgiving lately. I don't know about you, but I get those opportunities every day. Did we remember when someone or something disappointed us to be forgiving? Did we pray for them? Jesus has given us his example that he would forgive us if we would heed his call. John chapter 17 tells us that he's prayed for us. Jesus wants us to spend eternity in heaven with him when this short life is over. And he asks us to follow him. We're told in John 14 and verse 6 that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. So how would we do that, Jesus? Well, we need to remember what he has told us, and we need not to be ashamed to speak up for him when struggles hit. When we look back at Acts 16, we get down to verse 30, we read these words, and brought them out. And they said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house. And they took them that same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and they were baptized, he and all his straightway. Wow. You know, perfect opportunities to share the gospel with others are not those things that are regular. It's not real often that someone comes in and says something that I heard just a few weeks ago. A brother who is now a truck driver who's on the road this very day who said several weeks ago, is this a place where I can learn how to be saved? God uses even those unusual circumstances, like what we read there in Acts 16, to teach others the gospel. God uses those things most effectively. The Philippian jailer was in a most desperate situation in his life, and he was ready to hear what Paul had to say about Jesus. The whole family came to Christ because Paul made the most of a bad situation. Fact is, no matter how clumsy we feel, it's never wrong to share the gospel with somebody else. So what was it that they were taught? Well, Paul was inspired by Jesus. And well, what did Jesus teach him? When we read in Matthew 28, beginning at verse 18, we see there that all those things that were taught, and they were told to teach others, that Jesus would walk with them always. Well, Paul wrote to the church in Rome, and we read in chapter 10 and verse 17 that we need to hear that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God in man. We talked about that this morning, that there are those who would cast all kind of doubt, those who would call themselves religious, those who would call themselves Bible believing, and yet I would say that my Savior would say to them today, oh, you of little faith, Jesus today sits on the right hand of the Father, being God himself as well, deity. And we read in chapter 10 again as we get down to verses 9 and 10, that we need to truly believe that and be willing to confess with our mouths that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Paul wrote to the church at Rome in chapter 2 and verse 4 that we need to be willing to repent or change, repent of sin. And then we see there in chapter 6 and verse 3 that we are to put on Christ in burial and baptism, if you will, following all that he has provided for us. When Paul was called Saul, by the way, he believed what he was doing right by God with all good conscience. But when he learned better, he did better. It could be tonight, as we've spent some time looking at God's Word and evaluating ourselves and looking at His Word to inspire us, that maybe we've been inspired tonight to recognize that we need to make a change in our life. It could be that you've learned something better, and it's time to do something better. If you find yourself lacking, this is the time. Let the love of God inspire you to make it right. While together we stand and sing.